Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down. The Thursday night throwdown has begun. Sirius XM, Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Networks, the loudest station in the nation, will welcome our many AM radio affiliates in a couple of moments. And, of course, we're going to be welcoming a bunch of television affiliates coming September 1st. We'll get into that a little bit later on. Except, I tell you what, we're very, very excited as the countdown to kickoff is on. You know, we've been one of the first ones out of the gate. I think we've been talking about football the most during the off season. You know, we were doing it weekly with Rick Saratella. We started the draft breakdown the night after the Super Bowl. We've had the countdown. Well, it's nearly done. Week zero, ready for kickoff. College football. Teddy Cover steps up and in straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada to break it down with us. We'll talk NFL football, college football. I would talk CFL football, but the CFL game tonight was canceled due to COVID. Tennessee Titans have an outbreak. The Jacksonville Jaguar players are already disliking Urban Meyer and think that he's a college clown in over his head. So we've got a lot of stuff to unpack here this evening. The New York Yankees gunning for their 12th consecutive win. And it's hard to believe, actually, and we were fascinated by the fact that they hadn't had an 11-game win streak since 1985. And the fact is, you know what? 12 games is the longest win streak in Yankee history. They've never won 13 games in a row. Isn't that, like, to me? Like, you know, I'm fascinated by these numbers, and I've said this, I can't recall a year like this. I look forward to talking with Jason about this on Sunday night. Jason B. Takafin, one of our baseball insiders. I've never seen a year with so many records set and so many milestones and so many benchmarks, good, bad, and the ugly, and everything else in between, including Chris Sale tonight. So, you know, Chris Sale, this guy hadn't pitched in like 2 years. Chris Sale posts his third career immaculate inning. And I'm not going to lie to you, even it took me a second. Immaculate inning? What the hell? Like, I was like, I had to like double take immaculate inning. What's an immaculate inning? What's an immaculate inning? Didn't take me long. And I was like, oh, yeah, immaculate inning. But it's you don't hear it, do you? It's only a term that's been used 6 times in the history of baseball. It's only happened 6 times. Think about that. And we've always wondered, you know, like I said, we tried to educate here for the people that care. And we talked about, like, how many baseball games have been played in the history of the league and stuff. It's not as many as we thought. It's like 125,000 or something. But still, I think it was 118,000. It was around that. It's like 100. It wasn't like you think, like, how many baseball games, someone asked you, how many baseball games in the history of Major League Baseball have been played? Like, you think, I don't know what, like, I don't know. It's a tough question. Like, so if you add it all up, it's like 118,000 or something. Immaculate. What is an immaculate inning? The Late Night Anchor Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates joining the party. Sports Grid Radio Networks. We're kicking it on Sirius XM. It's the Thursday night throwdown. We're talking football. We're talking baseball. And that's about it. A lot of football talk. A lot of football talk tonight. College football ready to kick off. It's week zero. Teddy Covers will step up and in straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. WagerTalk.com. We'll talk college football. We'll talk NFL football. We'll talk Major League Baseball. Big Card Julio Rosario steps up and in from the Windy City for our weekly Windy City Sports Report and the D-Gen Report as well. And speaking of the Windy City, we're fired up. Illinois, Nebraska. Saturday, first game on the board, college football season, ready to kick off. I think we've got an upset, and I think not only is the underdog line, but I think they can win on the money line as well. So, listen, there's a lot of stuff to unpack here tonight, but you know, it's a tough day. Anybody that pays attention to what's going on in the world obviously knows, you know, between the pandemic and, you know, now the chaos in Afghanistan, there's a lot of stuff going on. So I don't want, especially troops tuning in right now, and I know we're on the Armed Forces Network, I don't want people to think that we don't see what's going on in the world. You know, and I could talk for hours and give you my opinion on what's going on in the world, but I don't get paid to give my opinion on foreign policy. And people aren't tuning in to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabriel Morency for foreign policy talk. You know, if you want the news, you go to Lester Holt or whoever you watch the news. But I just want to say, like, it's, you know, it seems trivial, and I felt that this morning. I woke up, I saw the bombing and stuff, and I'm thinking, well, who cares about Ryan Tannehill and the Titans missing a couple of practices, right? I mean, there's real problems in the world right now. So our thoughts and prayers with everybody in Afghanistan that's suffering right now and in the line of fire. And I sincerely mean that. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. Vent your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Gabe Morency on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
This team is fired up. We came here to play.
All right.
He'll lose.
What? Didn't you hear what he said?
Look at the fear in his eyes. Listen to the quiver in his voice. He's a little boy lost in a game of men.
You think we should bet against him?
I bet my entire college fund on it.
You got it. Mo, $23 in New York.
The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. All right, we've got a ton of stuff to talk about this evening. The countdown is on. Of course, it is week zero. I talked earlier off the top of the program, and I gave the trivia teaser twister of the night. We don't really have it, but I said earlier off the top of the program, if, you know, I know our AM radio affiliates missed the first like 2.5 minutes, and then they kick in. But Chris Sale tonight, an immaculate inning, and I see our crew in the chat talking about it. And I'm not judging anybody for not knowing what it is. It doesn't happen ever. Like, there's only two guys that have ever done it, and this is only the sixth time in the history of baseball. And think about it, we played like 118,000 games, and we've been playing baseball for 140 years, and what it is, it's a perfect inning, three strikes in a row. Like, basically, like, no one made contact. Like, no one made contact. 1, 2, 3, 9 pitches, 3 strikeouts. Chris Sale, it's the third time in his career he's done it, and the only other person to do it is Sandy Koufax. It's crazy. Crazy. Both left-handers, though, huh? Teddy Cover steps up and in. Teddy, straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Wager talk. How you doing, Teddy?
What's up, Renzi? So, just to be clear, Sale's the first guy since Koufax to do it 3 times.
It yes.
It has been done, for individual. Kevin Gausman's done it. Max Scherzer's done it twice.
But so three times. Ties the record. Yes, yeah, thank you for clarifying it. Yes, thank you
but
for clarifying
anytime,
it.
Anytime you're doing anything and you're tying one of Sandy Koufax's records, you're doing something right.
Yeah, yeah. that's a very, very good point. Although, you know what, it was, I've said it earlier, Teddy, like, I look at, like, the daily trends, and not, like, betting trends, but, like, just the daily numbers type thing of, like, at the end of the day with baseball. And I can't recall a year with so many records being tied, broken, and everything else in between. It really is. It's amazing to me. If you look like the Baltimore Orioles and their losing streak, there's been a ton of losing streaks. I was fascinated by the fact that the Yankees had never won. They've only won 12 games in a row in their franchise history, Teddy. They've never gotten to 13, and they're trying to get to 12 tonight. That's amazing to me, too, with all the success that that team's had.
Yeah, that was a surprise to me. And, of course, the Yankees had a 6-0 lead tonight, which is now 6-6. So, yeah, easy come, easy go.
And Boone got tossed. And Boone got tossed in the game early, arguing balls and strikes. What do you make of that, Teddy? You know, Boone, he likes to stand up for his guys and stuff, but it's the second inning, balls and strikes. Was it a little over the top of Boone to choose then? And especially they're on an 11-game win streak, right? I don't know. Like, was he just feeling it? Like, what was his strategy? Was there a method to his madness, or do you think he just lost it and started just, like, saying crazy things?
Yeah, Taillon got squeezed pretty hard, you know? So, honestly, in terms of, like, was Boone thinking big picture here? It didn't look like it to me. It looked like he was just PO'd.
But you know what I mean, right? Like, sometimes, you know, like, NBA coaches, like, they'll be, all right, I'm going to get kicked out now. Like, they'll decide. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, they'll make the decision, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to cause a scene, and I'm doing this because of this. And they're going to respond, and there's a reason. Because it was early, and the Oakland announcers, I was watching the Oakland feed, the Oakland announcers were talking about that. They were like, this is dumb. Like, he's just showboating. And the New York guys were like, he's standing up for his guys. It's great, right? Like, you see the two different perspectives of it, Teddy. But he's done this before, right, with that Savage stuff. Because let's be real. It's New York, Teddy. Even though they're on the road, everything's a show. And he knows the cameras are on, right? Like, and you can see the Yankee players smiling and stuff. Like, they sort of like it. I don't know. He doesn't do it all the time, so I have a problem. Which way do you think this game goes now? Are you buying in? Like, for the live in-game bettors right now that want to pull the trigger, what would you recommend?
In general, I'm not excited about betting on the team that blew the 6-0 lead. You know, in-game momentum is meaningful, and then the Yankees haven't scored since, what, the third?
I know. Remember that Kansas City game, though, that went to extra innings with the Yankees last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever? It all merged into one of me, but, like, they would score two runs, then they'd blow the two-run lead. They'd score two runs, they'd blow the two-run lead. Like, they are a resilient bunch. Oakland's struggling right now. Oakland need this one. And, man, so does Seattle. And I got to tell you, I got Seattle in the back end of a parlay here. Teddy, I mean, big games as far as the wild card is concerned with Oakland and Seattle and Kansas City playing right now. Especially like if Oakland loses to the Yankees, it's Seattle's opportunity. But every time Seattle sort of get on the steps, they don't even get to the door, do they? They get pushed back down.
Trading Graveman at the deadline, you know.
Baffling.
Like, the locker room was lost for a week there, and that week is going to be the week that keeps the, you know, they had a terrible week. But if you think about how effective their bullpen was beforehand and what their bullpen has looked like since, it's really been an impactful loss, you know. And that's one that management has to look in retrospect and go, yeah, we botched that one because Seattle's not making the playoffs, let's be real.
Teddy covers, throwing it down. How'd you do on the diamond tonight, Teddy?
Depends on if the Yankees are going to come back and win this game or not. Yeah, I had some Sale run line. Sale run line for me is auto. That's an auto.
I'm a moron for not doing that. I know.
Yeah, I mean, it's I've had it in each of his first three starts. I've had some Sale run line in my pocket, and I will continue to do that. I mean, that's an auto. I'm not handicapping the game. I'm not overthinking it. It's Sale run line. Boom.
Man.
But I recognize that in his first three starts back, the Red Sox have won those games by a combined score of 34 to 4 in those three starts. They're coming for the race.
And he doesn't need the run support. So, yeah, Chris Sale joined Hall of Famer Sandy Koufax, the only pitchers on record with three immaculate innings. Bobby Dalbec homered twice. Boston beats Minnesota 12-2. So I just want to get the exact sort of sequence here. So Sale, his first immaculate inning came against Baltimore in 2019. He did it again the following month against Kansas City, then joins Koufax in the third inning when he struck out Nick Gordon. Yeah, it's incredibly. So Koufax completed his immaculate innings for the Los Angeles Dodgers between 1962 and 1964. As Teddy stated, when you're in the same, when you've done something early, Sandy Koufax has done. Yeah, that's saying something. So you said they're coming for Tampa. You believe the Red Sox are coming for Tampa? You don't think the Sox are done? You think they're back in this thing?
Well, the Mariners are the team that I don't think is live. You know, I mean,
no,
right,
I agree
right
with
now,
that.
Seattle's only three games back of the last wild card berth. Toronto's 5.5 out. And it's not like I don't think the Mariners are going to hang around. I just don't think they're going to get there, you know. But when it comes to who's getting that wild card, look, the Yankees are going to get it. The Rays are going to get in. It's a question in my mind. It's either Boston or Oakland, Boston or Oakland. And then that may well come down to the final week of the season. It's funny. Over the course of the last week or two, it feels like these wild card races that looked like they were going to be super exciting have gotten, you know, it's like it's getting in the NL. It's the Reds or the Padres.
Yeah.
Reds or the Padres. And that's the battle. So these intense wild card races may not be that intense down the stretch this year. We've gotten all the teams that are challenging into the postseason now, so maybe the race won't be quite as good.
Oh, it's all right. It's time to talk football. College football, NFL football. Let's do it. The Late Night Anger Management Class, Teddy Covers joining us from Las Vegas. I am Renzi. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the 117th dust-up between the snorting swine of Springfield A&M and the Springfield University Nittany Tide. Oh, doctor, break out the hickory switch.
Oh, yeah, countdown to kickoff is on. We got college football, we got NFL football. I want to get into the college football week zero with Teddy Covers, who's joining us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada, wagertalk.com. Another college football season is upon us, Mr. Savransky. But before we get into that, the Jacksonville Jaguars played on Monday Night Football, and somebody screenshotted a GIF, basically, of Urban Meyer's face at one point, Teddy. And I'm not the type of guy just to bet money on a GIF, but I bet money on the GIF. Like, I already liked him to the under, but it was just one of those what the hell have I got myself into type of looks. He was sort of staring off into space, and you could just see the sort of confusion and anger and everything else. He's thinking, I think he's thinking, man, these guys are bad. I'm in a lot of trouble. I'm already rich. I didn't need to do this. Like, how am I going to get out of this? That's the way I saw it. And their win total is 6.5. Now we see the reports today, Teddy, coming out. Urban Meyer rubbing Jaguar players the wrong way. Turns out he's got a bunch of assistant coaches and yahoos with megaphones and speakers and microphones yelling at players every practice, during the practice, telling them to hustle and pick up the pace and stuff like that. And it's already starting. Unnamed players basically say, you know, that it's a circus already. So are you buying or selling this report, Teddy, that Jaguar players are already thinking that he's a clown?
I would buy that report. Again, it's not like where there's smoke, there's fire always. But it's not like Jacksonville is this hotbed of football gossip and info.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When something makes the media, and look, with a potential superstar at quarterback with the number one overall draft pick, there is a spotlight on Jacksonville that there hasn't been in recent years. But it's not a New York spotlight. It's not an L.A. spotlight. It's a Jacksonville spotlight. So when something hits the media,
you're right.
Of this nature,
Something in New York could be a lie and made up, Teddy, for entertainment purposes. You're right. In a small town like Jacksonville, you bang on. I just want to clarify the point. You agree, right? Exactly. L.A., New York, Philly. Oh, this is happening. You don't know. You're just trying to get calls and hits. And let's right? But it's Jacksonville. For, so to come out of Jacksonville camp, you're right, Teddy. It's got to be real. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's not just local. Like, it's national. Everyone's on this thing now. Pete Prisco's on it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's be clear, all right? The Jags were trying on Monday night. They were trying the previous week, all right? The previous week, it was the Jags starters for a half against the Browns backups, and Jacksonville still couldn't get a first down, okay? Now, all the quotes from Urban Meyer, and there have been a lot of them. I've been reading them. Frustration, 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 frustration. We're not going to be this kind of offense. We're going to be this. We're going to be that. And, you know, we've seen them on the field twice, not for a season, but we've seen him twice, and they haven't accomplished any of it. And they haven't looked anything like what they said he hoped that they would look like. And when you think about Urban Meyer's coaching career, all right, this guy was walked in at Florida with national championship talent, walked in at Ohio State with national championship talent. Yeah. At Utah, it wasn't like he walked in with national championship talent, but he walked in, they weren't the worst team in the conference.
And his quarterback was Alex Smith. Not bad.
Yes, who ended up being the number one overall draft choice. Exactly. So you can make a case the last time Urban Meyer had to deal with anything like what he's dealing with in Jacksonville was his very first season as the head coach at Bowling Green. And guess what? The NFL's not the MAC. You know, in terms of going from worst to first, the MAC teams go from worst to first every year, or every other year, it feels like. Not in the NFL. And when you looked at that Jags roster this offseason, and I know maybe Meyer got excited, oh, look, you know, we got Trevor Lawrence. When you looked at that roster, they're not a roster in the NFL that's worse. The Jets aren't even worse than the Jets. There are no positional units of strength, not one. Not the offensive line, not the running backs, not the receiving core, not the tight end. There's not one where they're at or above NFL average. So it's a complete rebuild. This isn't a one-year deal. This is maybe the third year we can be competitive deal. And, you know, Urban Meyer, I think, is getting the sense of that's what it's going to be. And I'll take the under on how long. You know, you want your first coach to quit? There's your bet.
I don't think Chenault's terrible. You know, the kid out of Colorado. You know, DJ Shark. So I'll slightly – on defense, it's thin. And I don't think Urban Meyer is the guy. At all. So let me ask you, because I agree with you, and you just stated, you talked about their weaknesses, and there's always that narrative, Teddy, right, of, well, this team's going to suck, and props to Teddy, for those of you tuning in, 40 years started, I remember everything, Teddy, I asked him, Teddy, what's a false baseball narrative, said that San Francisco's bad, so I give you props, Teddy, props to you, so I'm not saying the Houston Texans or the San Francisco Giants in the NFL this year, I'm not going that far, but Jacksonville are 3-point favorites in that game, Teddy. What's your take on that? Like, why? And I brought it up before, but humor me if you've heard this take and if you're just joining us. And as I stated, and just for the record, you know, the Texans are 2-0 in the preseason. But let's look at the Texans' depth chart, and let's look at what they're going to roll out next in two Sundays or three Sundays, whatever the hell it is, coming up here, week one. Tyrod Taylor will be the quarterback. Starting running backs will be Philip Lindsay and Mark Ingram. Wide receiver, Brandon Cooks, Chris Conley, Kiki Kute. Jordan Akins is your tight end. To me, and I'm getting 3 points, I know Houston's defense sucked, but Jacksonville can't do anything to exploit it. And it's the home opener. They're getting 3 points. Let me ask you, would you trust laying 3 points on this game? What do you make it a line in this game? Because Cam's ballsy. He goes, I already bet it. I'm taking the Texans. And I looked at this, and I'm thinking, you know what? Texans can win this game. Why are the Jags favored?
So, in my power ratings for the NFL, Houston is the worst team, and then the Jets and the Jags tied 30-31 as the next two bottom feeders. There is no way on this earth that you're going to find me laying points in the NFL with a team I've got ranked tied for 31st, no matter how bad the 32nd team is. Okay, so it's a one-way bet. All right, I'm either betting the Texans or I'm not playing the game. when we think about Tyrod Taylor, and I've been, for whatever reason, Tyrod Taylor is a QB that's always interested me. And I followed his career closer than your average NFL
guy. I know him as a Bills fan, too. As a Bills fan, I know him well. Yeah, so go on.
Tyrod Taylor is the ultimate dink and dunk quarterback, okay? He is not going to take shots downfield. He's not going to stretch the defense. He's going to throw everything. He's going to throw safe pass. Trevor Lawrence is playing behind an offensive line that cannot protect him. Maybe the under? That's what I'm looking at in this.
Interesting, yeah.
I got no problems with taking the points with Houston.
Tyrod doesn't turn the ball over much, though, either, Teddy. That's why coaches like him.
Yeah, it's all checkdowns. It's all safe throws. He's the ultimate under quarterback, Tyrod Taylor. You know, he's not taking shots. He's not turning the ball over. He's chucking the ball to the running back out of the backfield again and again and again. And you'll get 6 yards, and you'll keep the clock moving, and you won't get the incomplete passes. And it's great for underbacks.
Teddy covers. Teddy, I remember you and I spoke about this last year. And, you know, something else you brought up last week about not knowing, predicting where the market was going to go. I brought it up a couple of times. Interesting conversation. But now that there's fans back, right, are you back to 3 points with the power rankings? Is it 3 points, home field, NFL? Because remember last year, I think you said, you were using 1.5 now without fans, right? Are you going back to 3?
I am not.
No?
And it's an interesting discussion, okay?
Yeah, that's why I asked you. I'm bringing it up.
Yeah. I had to talk about this with Dave Koken, who's a veteran handicapper, you know, college football handicapper, a guy who's been around, you know. He was a legend in Vegas when I got here in 98. That's Dave Koken, you know. And Koken's like, yeah, I just redid all my home fields. I think the home fields are going to be stronger this year. There were no crowds last year. I just, you know, went through, and I'm going to try to be proactive and not reactive. And it came in discussion of the Nebraska-Illinois game.
Oh, boy. Well, we're going to get to that one. I'm fired up for that. All right.
Sure.
Keep on going.
So he said that he gave Illinois a 4.5-point home field advantage for that game.
Wow.
And my jaw dropped. I'm like, I haven't had the Illini at more than 1.5 at home in a decade and a half. You're giving them 4.5 here?
It's not like they're selling out that stadium either, Teddy. And it's not like they have a big pep rally. It's not like there's that much enthusiasm around the program either. You're right.
Well, look, I do my home field advantages. It's a real simple methodology I use, okay?
But college and NFL is different. College and NFL is different, obviously, for the power rankings, right?
Not the concept is the same, man. This is how you determine if a team has a strong home field advantage. Okay, not how many fans are there, not how loud the crowd is.
Yeah,
it's do they cover point spreads at home?
Yeah,
if they're covering point spreads at home at a great at a rate that they're not covering on the road, guess what? That's a big home field edge. If you know, Happy Valley, these whiteout games.
I love that, too.
But there was a decade where these whiteout games at Penn State were worth like a nothing. The home crowd was worth nothing, and there were 10,000.
Teddy, you and I are Michigan. Well, you went there as Michigan. They play in front of 110,000 people. Has it helped? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I hate that take, too. Like, you hear during the hockey playoffs, the arena's going to be rocking tonight. Vegas, oh, it's going to be rocking in the arena tonight. So what? You think, Like, so what? Yeah, I know, but it's like I'm a Bills fan. It's been rocking in Buffalo every damn week for 50 years. They never won a Super Bowl. It still rocks, still loud, still crazy. More with Teddy on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
This lady says I'm an artist.
You? An artist?
Your husband's work is what we call outsider art. It could be by a mental patient or a hillbilly or a chimpanzee.
A
the Thursday Night Throwdown. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, Sirius XM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio Networks, the loudest station in the nation. We're kicking it with Teddy Covers. You can catch Teddy right here Saturday mornings on the grid, Sirius XM Channel 204, and of course over at Wager Talk Daily, doing some great stuff with the crew there. So there's a ton of stuff I want to get to, so I'm going to talk really fast, Teddy. But, you know, it's interesting. So you don't go to three in the NFL, you're saying. So what are you power ranking it at? Two? And I totally agree, too. Let me just throw it out there as far as the crowd and all that. I was just saying, it's not like, you know, but Illinois. I was surprised that he put that much stock in 4.5 for their home field. Because I said the same thing, and I just told people in the chat, it's like the 12th man stuff. It's all cute. You can ring your bell and all that and sell jerseys. But there was the same amount of false starts when there was no fans last year.
Yep.
You know what I mean, Teddy? It's a narrative, and I get it, but... And another thing is, I've spoken to a million players about this, and it's great, too. Coaches tell players this, and they all like it. First off, players thrive on noise. They like it. Number two, I asked the guy once, I said, what about the noise? And he goes, my college coach taught me to just pretend they're cheering for you. No, it's amazing, isn't it? Just like that, right? Yeah. Other guys will say it's so loud that it doesn't matter. It's just sort of a wall of noise, and it's just there. Like, it's not like intimidating. And another thing is, when I did the Expo games, Teddy, it's actually worse. Players told me point blank after the visiting teams that it was harder to play in Montreal when there was 3,000 people in the stands. They said it's quiet, and they said you can hear the trollers. They said you can actually hear something. They go, in New York, it's just a wall of noise and F-bombs, right? And you just sort of soak it in. He goes, in an empty stadium, man, he goes, you get lulled to sleep. He goes, you hear people trash talking you, like, vividly because you can hear them. He goes, it throws them off. So that's my whole point about, oh, it's going to be rocking in that stadium. So what? You're big on the whiteout. You know, that whiteouts don't win football games. First downs do. Touchdowns do. Better players do. Coaches do. And road trips, too. And I believe, Teddy, people, I don't care. I've always said that. I don't care about the crowd and all that crap. The road, the thing that sucks about the road is teams get tired and fatigued, man. The travel catches up to them. It's the travel. It's not the fans, Teddy. But fans want to pretend they're important when they're really not.
So one of the, I mean, I built my career betting against this narrative that the home field is worth something.
Yeah, really? Yeah, yeah. Wow. That's a secret after all these years I got out of you.
and there's some sports more than others, but in the NBA in particular. You know, the NBA, they're just knee-jerk. Oh, they're home. You know, back off a long road trip. Especially when you see a team that gets in a rhythm on the highway, you know, a team that talks about how they come together on the road, you know, that it's a good environment for them. You know, those are teams just been on the road all year long. And you know, so the way I work my home field edges, you start with three as a base, all right? And then you factor in results. You know, I'm going back and looking at, you know, last year. I'm going back and looking at the last 5 years. And that's as far back as I'm interested in. You know, I'm not going back 10 years, what this field was worth 10 years ago. I don't care less. I could care less what it was worth 10 years ago. You know, last year and then the last 5 years. And you'll be shocked at how many teams losing record ATS at home last year, losing record over the last 5 years. And I'm going to start those teams at a two and downgrade them perhaps as the season progresses. You know, I might start those teams as a one, you know, when you find a team that doesn't win any games. And I'm also looking, you know, for the one, not just points red record at home, but actual wins and losses at home. And the teams don't win games at home. I mean, they could you could have a zero as your home field edge in college football. That's not unusual for me to have. You know, I don't have a lot of them, but they're out there. So, you know, some guys really think that. some folks think that the home field is particularly meaningful, and I've found that you know, I've had more success thinking that the home field is. Or home court is less meaningful, and that's worked for me over the years, and it continues to work here in 2021.
Oh, I've killed it, Teddy, in the finals in these leagues, man, with that narrative. It was tough because it was there wasn't fans. It was different this year, but, you know, I remember 2 years ago, like Boston Bruins, St. Louis Blues, or whatever it was, Teddy, they only won in each other's building. And every damn night, the media would say the same thing after. Well, now they're going back home. They'll get back on track. It's like, are you guys watching what we're watching here? I remember I'm a Raptor fan, Teddy. I'm a Raptor fan. Bro, they won in Golden State. They won three of the four games of the series in Golden State, Teddy. They choked at home, the Raptors. They felt the pressure. They won on the damn road. Right? Like Milwaukee Bucks. Oh, well, yeah, no, they got to go back to Phoenix now in game five. Oh, no, no, that's going to be too much. Why? They're on a roll. Like, it doesn't matter where it is. Home field and home court could be a backlash. All right, so we could talk about this all night, but I want to get into week zero a little bit, and let's get into Nebraska and Illinois. I'm fascinated by this game. Big Ten matchup coming up. We talked about it a little bit last week, but it's just amazing to me, too, because if, you know, you got Nebraska win total of 6.5 on the year. And I haven't put the bet in yet, but I'm damn close that I'm going to have to because I'm telling people I like it so much to the over 3.5 with Illinois. And something's got to give. They're going head-to-head. The point spread 6.5, Teddy. 54.5. What sticks out to me about this is, let me ask you point blank. Illinois won 41-23 last year in Lincoln. So go in there. Peters had, like, the best game of his, you know, last year. It's one of their better wins. He only won two games, so. but they look good. Year before that, they play 42-38. And with so many returning players with these programs, these kids aren't going to the NFL, so there's a lot of same kids even in the last few years here. So 42-38 Nebraska 2 years ago, 41-23 Illinois last year, and now Nebraska are 6.5-point favorites in Champaign. Why? Are they suddenly 24.5 points better? Teddy, talk to me about the number here. I think it's too high.
So there's a lot of things to talk about this game. And maybe the most important thing to talk about in week zero is that we have eight completely irrelevant teams that are getting spotlighted.
I know.
I'll talk about that in week zero.
Well, that's hard on UCLA. Wow, you're calling UCLA irrelevant. Wow.
UCLA irrelevant program? UCLA's been an irrelevant program. UCLA's Nebraska, bro.
I know. You're right.
I mean, the Nebraska with less expectation is what UCLA has been for the last however long.
Yeah, you're bang on.
But, yeah, it's eight irrelevant programs that are getting some spotlight. I'm glad you're not making me break down the UTEP and New Mexico State for the 15th time.
No. I wasn't going to go that far. I was going to ask you about UConn and Fresno State, though.
Two teams that I'm not going to bet on all year. All right. So let's start with this, with Nebraska and Illinois.
Yeah, so 6.5.
You
look
know
at the switch.
Anybody, hang on. Have you talked to anybody, anywhere, that's laying the points with the favorite in this game? Because I haven't talked to one person anywhere that likes the chalk here. Not one.
No.
This is the ultimate public dog. And that concerns me. You know, it's
I don't see the public on this, though, Teddy. It seems to me like I don't think casual people are betting this game. I think this is more of an industry game.
Because nobody thinks Nebraska's that well. First of all, everyone's betting this game because it's the opening Saturday of college football.
I know. Well, they will bet Saturday morning. You're damn right. They'll realize college football's on. Yeah, it's on Fox.
Exactly. I mean, you and I mean, I might have action on this. You know, probably not before kickoff. But
do you think
I don't know anyone that likes the favorite here. Okay, I don't know a soul. I haven't talked to one person that likes the favorite. And when you get those type of games in college football, you know, we'll see what kind of year it is. Some years they win and some years they lose.
You're right. Public's not always wrong, like you say, right? Exactly.
Yeah. Sometimes the live dogs are, you know, the popular dogs catch. All that said, I understand why the point spread is where it is. This is the year that Nebraska's supposed to be better. And Illinois, you know, they're still it's not a well-flushed-out roster for the Illini. There are holes there. The program building is much further along for the Huskers. And again, Martinez is a playmaker. He's a guy that when healthy, has shown signs and he can create touchdowns real quick. I don't know that Illinois has them.
So they've gotten a sixth, they got 41-23, so 64. And I thought top of my head was 42-38, 72. So we've gotten a 64 and 72 in the last 2 years. There's also that narrative, well, it's the first game of the year. We've seen it in the preseason, unders. We've seen it in the Canadian Football League, unders. I went over the week score ones of college football before, and I showed people teams routinely get into the 50s, no problem on their own in week one in college football. Agreed, talk to me about that narrative that teams aren't ready, because The last two times they would play was a track meet. Is this thing any different this time around? It's 54 and a half.
Sure, but season openers are different, okay? Season openers are absolutely different because your red zone execution isn't there yet because you haven't played against live defenses. And you see a lot of settling for field goals week one.
Yeah, that's true. They'll move the ball but then settle. That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not that I won't play a week zero or week one over, but I ain't playing this week zero, week one over. No way.
Well, Lima's slowing down, too. Well, he looked to sort of slow it down.
These aren't dynamic offenses. You know, yeah. This isn't a bing, bang, boom, quick play, quick trick. When I'm playing overs in college football, I want playmakers. I want quick, it doesn't matter, college football or NFL. I want quick strike touchdown guys. I want teams that are going to take shots. I want teams that can score on defense. In particular, I want teams that can score on defense. I'm not convinced either one of these two teams is going to do a whole lot of defensive scoring this year. And if I had to play total, I could only lean under.
Let me ask you about UConn and Fresno State, unfortunately. My apologies. Sorry.
That's fine.
I know. I saw the number here, and I'm like, damn, 62.5 for the total. It takes two to dance. I like the under here, Teddy. So UConn haven't played in 2 years, so there's kind of that unknown. But I actually like it. They have a lot of the kids back. They've had 2 years. They've grown. You know, they're going to be bigger kids. I'm not saying UConn are good. But I'm saying all I need to go under 62.5 is for UConn not even to score much, like not to do anything, but like just can UConn chew up 4 to 6 minutes, get a couple of first downs, get the ball in midfield and punt it, do that a couple of times, because honestly, like how many points are UConn going to score? I know it's an unknown. They haven't played in 2 years. What, 10, 13, 17 max they get up here? And Fresno's not Alabama. Fresno's not going to hang 59 on them or 68. They can't. And they're playing Oregon next week. It's 62.5. It takes two to dance. I think this total's too high, Teddy, in this game. I like the under. What do you think?
So conceptually, I have no problem with you. Here's the issue, though. We don't know what UConn's going to look like. UConn.
What if they can score, hey? If they put up 24
well,
or something. Yeah.
Then there's no film. You know, they didn't play last year. There's no film on this team. So from a film study standpoint, from defensively, that's not good for Fresno necessarily. And it's certainly, you know, a thought process of why you might not want to lay 27.5 points in the game with the Bulldogs. And the other thing, I mean, last time we saw Fresno, they were getting gashed by New Mexico. I mean, that's not an elite defense.
No.
And I mean, gashed. And they gave up 7 touchdowns in that game. You know, they got the back half of last year, that defense really regressed. And again, they played some good teams. But when you give up 4 touchdowns to UNLV, you don't have a good defense. I wouldn't talk you out of the under, but I'm not playing it.
You got me thinking about pulling the trigger on the 27.5, but it's as the late, great Dave Malinsky would say, Gabe, it's a marathon, not a sprint. As Teddy said, 8 irrelevant teams. 8 irrelevant teams. More with Teddy next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Boy, Steel City Steve in Pittsburgh checking in. Says, go back another year, Morency. Nebraska, 54-35. Man, you guys just keep coming at me, huh? Guys in Pittsburgh. Shout out to my boy, Steve. Don't be a stranger, Steve. Shoot us a call whenever you're good. Now the football's here. Maybe we'll open up a segment on Fridays for calls so you guys could call and ask about specific games. I think maybe we'll do that. Teddy covers. So, Teddy, before we get you out of here, UCLA, Hawaii, 17.5, 68.5. This is the one. Like, I'm sort of in on the other ones. I made up my mind. You know, if I go down with the public, then so be it. I'm a man of the people. But give me Illinois plus the points. I'm going to go with the under and then the UConn-Fresno State game. But I am perplexed about this UCLA game. What's your take on it? 17.5, 68.5. My gut instinct tells me Hawaii hangs around. Because everybody, I haven't heard one person say Hawaii, Teddy. Everyone, UCLA by 24, UCLA by this and that. I don't know. I don't trust that team to win by 18, but sorry, go on.
Oh, I mean, the one thing UCLA is going to do, all right, you know, again, now that you're this far into the Chip Kelly year, they're going to play really fast. You know, they should be I would expect to see the fastest we've seen UCLA look in the Chip Kelly era will come on Saturday against Hawaii, and I don't know that the Warriors are going to be capable of stopping that. I really don't, you know. So I'm expecting UCLA to get there. Here's your over, you know. If Hawaii is going to cover this number, they better get in the 30s because I think UCLA is going to, you know, UCLA is going to be in the 40s in this ballgame. Maybe we'll look ahead to LSU. No. This is tune-up for LSU. This is stay focused in the second half.
Yeah.
And that could well be an issue. So lean Bruins, lean over.
I thought the same thing, too, about the look-ahead spot. No, not take the pedal off the metal. Kelly would rather smoke him and go in on a high. You know what I mean? He'd rather say, man, we just won 58-3. Now we're on national television, guys. Let's roll. Teddy! Always a pleasure, my man. Great stuff as always, Teddy.
Yeah, thanks, Gabe. Have a great day.
thank you, sir. Bring it.